The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Speaking the truth with boldness and defending freedom and faith. This is the Owen Stevens Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Owen Stevens Show. We just were joined by Caroline Farrow. You know, I talk a lot about transgender issues, you know, that word transgender issues. I talk a lot about madness and insanity. I'll just say that. I talk a lot about that on this show because I think that despite what some conservatives think, and this is a very popular, you know, this is a debate, despite what a lot of conservatives think, this is a very important issue, okay? We're talking about reality itself. When could defending, you know, reality be seen as not important? A lot of conservatives view this issue as more of a sideshow, but we're talking about defending reality itself. If we lose this fight, I don't understand how we think we can win many others. If we can't win this fight, where we're literally talking about what's true and untrue, basic biology, then what fight can we possibly hope to win? Can we win a fight on taxes or abortion? Can we win a fight on guns? Can we win a fight anywhere else if we can't win this basic fight on reality itself? That's how important this is. And any conservative that doesn't see that, you know, they need to be checked because this is a very, very, very important conversation to have and something to stand up for. Every single person should be standing up for this because we're at risk of losing not only reality itself, but the freedom of speech that comes along with that. All right, because like we just talked with Caroline Farrow, guys, she was arrested in front of her kids' devices, her devices, her husband's devices were confiscated in the UK simply for misgendering a transgender person. Those are the consequences that we were warned of early on by Jordan Peterson in that bill C-16 that passed through Canada. This is it playing out in real time. And I know the UK has had a long history of this, but this is going to happen in America next because our colleges and universities operate very similarly. 59% of our private universities right now are mandating these politically correct codes for their students, living in a world where you're not free to express what you want to. And if you express the wrong thing, then you're punished accordingly. Is that a country that you want to live in? That's definitely not a country that I want to live in. We're joined next by Diane Weber Biederman. Diane Weber Biederman is an author, a chaplain, a journalist, blogger, and speaker who is passionate about religion, ethics, politics, and mental health. She has been published in many media outlets, including Huffington Post Canada, Times of Israel, and Canada Free Press. She's a contributor to Israel National News. And we're going to be discussing her article on drag queens and the impact and effect that these, in general, that these LGBTQ ideas are having on kids, most notably. Diane, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Owen. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I'm very pleased to have you on. You pose a really important question in this article, everybody. If you go to the Biederman blog, you guys can find this article as well as everything else she writes. It's a really great site, as well as her book, Bullies of Woke. That's also something that I want to talk about in a sec. But I want to ask, you pose a really important question, which is, why do we allow this expletive, this crap, to be shared with our children? And I want to get an answer today. That's what I really want to do. I want to find the answer to that question. That's the answer that I'm interested in. That's the question I'm interested in answering today. So why, you know?
Okay, do you want me to give you the answer first?
You can. We'll get to that. But why? Oh, okay. Why write this article? Why write this article? I mean, are you aware that this is the kind of thing people like Caroline Farrow are arrested for? This is the kind of thing that people, you know, face severe consequences for, but you're willing to do it anyway. And that's something that I love. Why write this article? Were you aware of the repercussions? Have you had any repercussions? This is a very sensitive topic to touch upon.
I don't think anyone can find me yet, although I guess, you know, the RCMP could. We make jokes around here that one day someone's going to knock on the door. I'd like to explain my fearlessness because I can understand why many people are afraid. I'm at a stage in life where I cannot be canceled. Well, and if you don't like me, I truly don't care. I don't have to worry about losing my job. So I have the independence to speak what I believe is right and true. I am deeply embedded in the Judeo-Christian ethic, which underpins all Western democracies, but in particular America, an extraordinary constitution made by extraordinary people who knew back then what was really important, and that's called believing in some absolutes, right and wrong. I am watching my children and grandchildren respond to what's going on in the world, and I have to shake my head. We've reached a place, slowly but surely, like the lobster boiling in the pot, where the water warms up and it's really nice and lovely. And then at one point, the lobster realizes, if it gets 1 degree hotter, I'm dead and I better get out. I'm hoping that we're getting to the point where the lobster is going to get out of that pot, because our children and grandchildren seem to think there's nothing wrong with discussing and respecting a person's pronouns. And I look at them and how did you get to a place where we even thought about a pronoun? Who thinks about these things? Why would you ever question a male or a female and ask them, so mister, what's your pronoun? I mean, missus. It boggles the mind. And while I was waiting, you know, for your phone call today, it occurred to me, we do medical experiments usually on animals first, you know, like to check on diseases and cures. Show me anyone who's turned a male dog into a female dog or a female dog into a male dog. And yet, even Fauci could say he tested one of his vaccines on 8 mice. I mean, that just dawned on me while I was waiting to talk to you.
The other thing
is, we just said to children, hey, you know, we can stop your hormones, we can replace your hormones, and we can take your penis and testicles, cut them off, and sort of invert them, put a hole between your legs, and voila, you're female.
Yeah, and it's almost unspeakable how evil it is, because the same chemicals that we're using, that's why I'm oftentimes, and I know I'm a radio host, I'm supposed to have all the words. This is something that takes words out of my mouth. This is something that takes words out of my mouth. Everybody, right. I want to be very clear with what we're talking about. This is happening to kids. If you were a kid, and I remember being a kid very well, I'm 22 years old, I'm not that far removed from it. When you're a kid, you have a fundamental trust for adults around you, your parents, doctors. When they bring you to the doctor's office, that's a person of authority. That's a person that you respect. That's a person that you trust with your care, and that you're supposed to feel comfortable, alone and with your parents. And what is happening to these kids is something that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, where they are going into doctor's offices to be mutilated, where they are going into doctor's offices that have all sworn to do no harm, but they are now in the practice of cutting up kids because that's what makes a lot of money. All right. You have to ask yourself why. The important question that we have to ask ourselves is why? Why is this happening?
Right.
What is going on? Why is this happening? Why are kids going to doctors? Why are the doctors removing their parts? Why? The answer is very simple. They're not doing it. And this is something I often ask conservatives or liberals when talking about this. Do you think that doctors and therapists and social workers are really concerned about helping a child with their mental gender dysphoria? Are they really concerned with that? Or are they maybe primarily concerned with the fat check that gets delivered in their mail after they have an interview with that kid, or after they see that kid, or tell them that they have gender dysphoria so they have to keep coming back again and again and again and delivering that fat check again and again and again, and then going to a doctor's office to give them the hundreds of thousands of dollars that come along with cutting off a kid's penis or cutting off a little girl's breast or reconstructing their organs like Frankenstein, and they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of this. Maybe that's the impetus. Maybe that's the catalyst. Maybe that's why they want to do this so badly. This is turning in. Daily Wire reported this, that the transgender surgery industry is reportedly going to become a $5 billion industry. They're making money off of this. So it's not that they really care. all that much about gender dysphoria. That's really not what it is. All right, because if you truly cared about gender dysphoria, then there's a simple answer. And it has always been, try to make that child, try to make that person feel comfortable in their own skin. You are who you are. And it's it might be an incredibly stressful thing that gives you a lot of anxiety to feel like you're supposed to be a woman. But that is the mark, that is a trait of an unwell person. Feeling like you should be a woman or you're supposed to be a man, that is a characteristic of a mentally unhealthy person. And that is what needs to be addressed. And this whole idea that mutilating a kid who's 8 years old, Joe Biden said that he supported mutilating kids as young as 8 years old. This is happening. And we have to, right now, unfortunately, a lot of conservatives are in the business of denying this because they don't think it's happening and they think this is a sideshow. This is, in my opinion, one of the most important fights of the day. Let's get to that question. Why do we allow this crap to be taught with, shared with, and performed on our children?
You ready for the answer?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're cowards.
Mm.
Now listen, you talked about doctor, I know that's not a good answer, but listen to what we've been through. Let's go through it. So we have the progressive woke idea. Now we're teaching that white children are evil because they're white, and black children are victims because they're black and they'll never get to be anything. So you'd have white children and black children now living in despair because of their color. But the biggest thing that happened was COVID. You talked about doctors not being trusted. I don't trust any doctors since COVID with the concept of do no harm. They've done more harm than any group of people on the planet ever.
Yeah, the CDC just confirmed that 118,000 confirmed deaths happened suddenly because of unknown reasons. Well, we all know the real reason. So I think you're absolutely right that COVID demolished trust
in doctors. But our doctors failed us, except for the few exceptions who were lost their licenses, were removed from Twitter, God forbid, for speaking up. But the question that I suppose it's so hard to answer is, how do you get to a place like this? How do you get to a place where you have a doctor tell you, yeah, if we just take off the penis and put in some breasts, you'll be a girl? It's impossible because every cell in your body carries the chromosome of your sex. What they've taken is gender fluidity. This is such a horrific abuse of language, and by abusing language, you can change people. Gender fluidity has been with us since the beginning of time. You have women who are very masculine to men who are quite feminine. That's gender fluidity. But a man is a man, and a woman is a woman. But now they need something else to play with our minds. And this is the next thing they're doing. But when you put it all together, Owen, I truly believe it's a total attack on Western culture, the Judeo-Christian ethic, from the top down and the bottom up. The family is the most important unit of authority in a culture. That's where, you learn right from wrong. You destroy the family. You take away the power of the parent to teach their values and beliefs. You allow government to interfere. I don't know if you've heard, but there have been recently family requested non-vaccinated blood for a child to have surgery because they don't trust the vaccinations and the damage that could have been done to the blood. And the government intervened and took the child away from the parents. And then if you don't allow your child to go through transgender surgery, you have the government getting involved. The government is destroying the family from the bottom while pushing unbelievable propaganda from the top so that we'll end up being a Marxist country, which brings you back into the why would you want to be Marxist? It's failed everywhere it's been tried.
You're getting at something that's super important, which is one of the fundamental assumptions that Marx made, and that Marx, his worldview, was that there was no God, that everything around you was material. And what we're seeing right now, especially with this transgender movement, is an attempt to diminish and destroy the authority that we place in God. Because God has made you a man. God has made you a woman. He has made you who you are. The Bible says that you were intricately woven in the depths of the earth, that he knew you before you were made. Before you were formed, he knew you. And this is the kind of thing that they are trying to destroy, because what it does is it takes the authority that God has over life, over what he decided to create, over his creation, and it puts it in people's hearts, inside of them, so that instead of God having that authority, instead of God telling me who I am, I find my identity in who I think I am and who I choose to be. What it's trying to do is turn people into God, turn people into, you know, the arbiters of truth, the arbiters of what, you know, their experiences, their truth is. Instead of there being God's truth, one truth, you know, the truth, it's everybody's chosen truth. It's your truth. Whatever you decide is. And that's something that is, that's actually a satanic idea. That idea that, you know, that the authority derives from within about who you are, and that do what you want, do what thou will. That's a satanic saying. This is a satanic ideal that, we're teaching kids, especially when it comes to the notions of sex, because this is a lot, and we're going to get into more of this. We got to go to break, but you know, this is something that is trying to subvert God. That's what this is: subverting Christianity, subverting God, subverting the authority that He has, and that's what this society and an unwell culture is trying to do. That's what this fleshly world is trying to do. The world moves one way. Christians are supposed to move against the world. We are not of the world. That's what we're supposed to do. And what we're seeing right now is so many Christians fall victim to the world rather than standing strong in the kingdom and standing strong in Jesus. And that's exactly what is causing this issue. We're going to be right back with Diane Weber-Biederman after a short break.
Trish Wood on TNT Radio.
Royal aide resigns over racist slur. So the story goes that Ngozi Fulani was speaking to an 83-year-old aide to the Queen. Let me tell you who Lady Susan Hussey is. She was at the Queen's side for the death of Philip, and she attended that very sad church service and was considered by everybody in the royal household to be one of two women who make up the Queen's best friend. She's been a part of the royal household for 60 years. So she appears at this event in Buckingham Palace in some kind of ethnic garb. It looks like maybe African garb of some sort, but unclear, but provocative enough that someone might ask a question about it. And Ngozi Fulani was trying to suggest that Lady Hussey was implying that she couldn't be a British citizen if she was black, which is absolute garbage. Now, we find out later, after poor Lady Hussey is forced to resign, I'm assuming by King Charles, shame on him, and shame on William too, because she was William's godmother, right? There's nothing in the transcript that is inherently racist. It's Furlani's description of it as how she felt violated by it that set the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The truth is out there. All the other stations suck.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Owen Stevens Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. Joining me is Diane Weber-Biederman. We're talking about, I want to get into this drag queen discussion, because this isn't necessarily a transgender discussion. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I just take us back to just before the break, where we were talking about God? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
I think it's important that we always remember that when the founding fathers set up the Constitution, they clearly stated that America would be a secular country. There would be no state religion, because they had come from countries in Europe that were Protestant or Catholic, and the kings were constantly killing each other and going to war over religion. And so the founding fathers back then, bless them, said, we are going to have a country that is not affiliated with any particular religion, but is rooted in the Jewish ethic that was given at Mount Sinai, and then Paul spread throughout the world in Christianity. And I think it's important that every American knows it doesn't matter, truly, race, color, creed, religion, or sexual orientation. What does matter is all people are born with equal intrinsic value, all yes. life is sacred, and we have moral agency. And I've noticed, though, that there has been a horrific attack against the Christians living in America, and mm-hmm. they are being attacked for believing in God and the Constitution. Mm-hmm. But for people who don't believe in God, and I'm okay, the secularist ethicist Immanuel Kant came up with something a long time ago called the categorical imperative. And he said, let's look at an issue. If it's good for one person, then it's good for everyone. If it's not good for one, it's not good for everyone. So he looked at suicide. Mm-hmm. He said, so is suicide good? Well, how can it be good? If everybody committed suicide, you'd have nothing. So suicide mm-hmm. isn't good. And it's the same thing with the Judeo-Christian ethic. Life mm-hmm. is sacred. Do your best not to take your own life. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy, God says, choose life. I give you the blessing and the curse, life and death. Choose life for you and your children. It's not a suggestion. Yeah. It's a commandment. But the same thing if the categorical imperative would be true with transgender. If we said that transgender is good for one, it means it's good for all. If everybody went through transgenderism, what would we have? Mm. So there are absolutes in our world, not only believing in God and the commandments he gave us, and I like to describe the Bible as a book of stories that teach us how to be compassionate people in a compassionate society. That's a religious yeah. perspective. And Immanuel Kant proved secularly, whether you believe in God or not, the teachings in that book are absolute. So mm-hmm. now and we're at a stage in... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Well, you mentioned something that's important, which is that it's a society-building book. It is giving instruction and a framework and a foundation, not everything, not the, you know, what we build off of that, you know, not necessarily, but it is laying out the foundation and fundamental principles that we see in the Constitution, that we see in the Declaration of Independence, endowed
right.
by our Creator with unalienable
right.
rights, unalienable.
Right.
All right. And that's an important thing. And, you know, whatever you think of the Bible, we have to acknowledge that there is inherent wisdom in what it's saying, that there is inherent, whether you believe that it's God's word. I'm somebody who believes that that is God's word. I believe that it is a holy
right.
and that I believe it's unfailable. But so often what happens is we end up measuring our society, we end up comparing and measuring the Bible to our society. And we say, that, you know, because of how contemporary we are, and we say, okay, you know, the way that we do things in this society today, we know slavery is bad. Well, slavery was in the Bible, you know, and we measure the Bible, we measure God's word to the standards that we have today, instead of measuring our society today by the standards that are set in the Bible. And this is why it's important that Benjamin Franklin said the Constitution was made for immoral and religious people. Moral and religious. So religion, Christianity, whatever, we do have freedom of religion. That's one of the core tenets in our First Amendment, of course. But a religious people, a moral and religious people, that's what it was meant for. And so I don't know, people do have the freedom to be whatever they'd like, and I understand that. But there is a danger, an inherent danger to people losing faith in Jesus, and losing these fundamental truths that are spoken in the Bible and that are echoed in the Constitution. That's a very dangerous thing. And I want people to have all the freedom they can, but you know, our job as Christians, let's never forget, our job as Christians is not really to argue politics as much as it is to save our neighbors and to deliver the message and the good news of the gospel of Jesus. That's the most important thing we can possibly do. You know, that's something that, as a radio host, I try to do in some small way. That's my job. That's the foremost job of my life. If I were to do anything else, that would be the most important thing. And I think that that's something that we need to also agree on as conservatives, to say, listen, we're conservative, but we're primarily Christians. We're primarily Christians. I'm not a conservative Christian. I'm a Christian conservative.
Yeah, but Owen, I'm a very conservative Jew. So you're leaving out the Jewish people when you talk about Christianity.
So that goes hand in hand. Judeo-Christian, I'm not speaking specifically of the disagreement on Christ, the disagreement there, but the concepts laid out in the beginning, the Mosaic concepts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it came through and then it was shared. And I think you can believe in the teachings of the Bible, the commandments, the right and wrong, the absolute,
yeah,
and not necessarily be religious. The point is that you acknowledge that that ethic is absolute. You can't play with it.
Yes.
There is such a thing as absolute right and absolute wrong, and most of the time we live in the gray zone trying to find our way. But I will stand and scream from the rooftops, there is no such thing as transgender, period.
Yeah.
A man is a man. A woman is a woman. You cannot change one into the other by implanting breasts or removing breasts or playing with the penis or removing the vagina. You cannot change a man into a woman or a woman into a man. But somehow we have allowed into our society, and I'm still shaking my head trying to figure out how it got to this place, except out of cowardice, fear of being canceled, having your feelings hurt. We have had people stand up and lose their jobs, like Jordan Peterson here in Canada. He lost his job because he refused to memorize different people's different pronouns, and he was out. But we have to acknowledge that people see themselves differently. I mean, I've written about this several times. When I was working as a chaplain in the hospital in Toronto, I was often sent to speak to the people in the psychiatric ward, and we had a lot of men there who thought they were Jesus Christ. Now, they were locked up in the ward because they truly believed that they were Jesus Christ, a harmless kind of person. But the point was, they weren't Jesus Christ. They weren't thinking clearly. They weren't in their right mind. So we put people in the psychiatric ward 20 years ago for identifying as Jesus Christ, because isn't that the new word, identifying as? So now we have people identifying a man as a woman and a woman as a man, and you say that that's mentally okay? Like, how did we get there? But I agree with you, and I've written this too, Big Pharma. This is a billion-dollar industry. Not only the surgery, which in America, for a man to become a woman, I don't even know how I say this, they have to do body shaping as well, because a man is bulkier. So you have to, you know, shave the cheekbones and fix the ribs. $350,000, like that's today. Who knows what it'll be? But then you're on perpetual hormones the rest of your life. So the hormone makers are just jumping for joy. Yeah. The next is, how did we get such corrupt doctors that agree to this? Or were they threatened with losing their license the same way they were threatened with losing their license during COVID? So what does that tell you about the people who've become medical doctors? What does it say about their personality? What does it say about their... I don't even know.
Their courage.
What does that say?
Their integrity.
Yeah. They don't have any.
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't have
any. I don't know if you might have heard about our trucker convoy that fought against the mandates. I have to tell you, I have developed so much respect for people who drive trucks that I'd rather go to them for medical health care than my local doctor. Because I know the truck driver has integrity. decency, a concept of truly right and wrong. And those truck drivers stood up against our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who referred to those people who didn't take vaccines as racists and misogynists. And then he asked the question that Hitler loves more than anything, should we tolerate these people? So I wanted to ask Trudeau, well, let's not. What do you suggest we do with them? This is the world we have devolved into, or into which we have devolved. This is our baseline. These are the people we look up to. And then, just to switch topics, let's teach our children that nothing could be finer than being a drag queen. Well, I mean, what
this
could
drag
be better?
Queen
Growing
issue
up,
is.
Yeah, I want to be a drag
ahead.
Queen, mummy. Like, what does that mean? And why do you want to? And I have to tell you, Owen, there was a time when you'd think no one's going to teach about prostitution and how great that would be. But why don't we have pole dancers in the schools? And prostitutes teaching you, too, can be a prostitute. Or, hey, Chippendale, like, why not? I mean, that's who I am. Don't you want to be just like me? Or how about Sam Brinton? Is that his name, Brinton Binton? The guy that clears up nuclear waste, who walks around in a dress all the time? Brinton, and has now been charged with stealing luggage twice from an airport? Are these the people that you want your children to look up to? I mean, we used to have role models. These are today's role models? Rachel Levine, a man who wears blonde hair and a skirt? But it's a man? Yeah. You want your children to grow up like him? And for speaking that, Owen, you can go to jail.
Yeah, there's something that is deeper here, which is, and I think you're driving at the point of it, which is what you said earlier. I want to bring it back because one of my favorite people ever is Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager is a Jew.
I love him.
And he wrote these, I just bought his entire series called The Rational Bible. And what the Rational Bible is it's his book series that goes into explaining that the Bible is not just religious, but it's rational. There's reason behind it. And he describes it very intellectually and not in a secular way, but he does acknowledge the secular reality, you know, in which he lives. And that's a good thing. And he does a very good job in those books. And I encourage everybody to read, you know, what he's written as well as what Diane has written. And so you're absolutely right that it is not just Christians, but Jews as well. The Judeo-Christian ethic, which I think is a great way to put it. Ethic is such a beautiful word for it.
Right.
And what I think is the fundamental core concept here is a search and a struggle for meaning. A search and a struggle for meaning. Matthias Desmond, he wrote a book and he outlines some key characteristics of mass formation psychosis. Formation psychosis and what these societies tend to do and perpetrate on their citizens, which is number one, they socially isolate people. There's a lack of social bonding that goes hand in hand with social isolation. And that lack of social bonding contributes to a high level of free-floating anxiety. That anxiety contributes to a high level of free-floating aggression and frustration. Those things all combine to a lack of meaning and sense-making. What we are dealing with right now in America is a lack of meaning and a lack of sense-making. And this is why the Bible is so important, because it anchors us in a place. One of the best quotes ever is that, you know, build your house on the rock. This is literally what that is, everybody. This is it. You heard it in Bible school. You heard it in Sunday school. When you went to Sunday school, this is a good thing to teach your kids. Build your house on the rock, all right? Because we build right now, what we're doing is building our houses on sand. Because when we base our identity in ideas, and we base our identity in gender, we base our identity in sex or race or these very meaningless characteristics, when we base our identity in those in the group, we're building our house on sand, something that is going to disintegrate. Because in the end, there is no objective truth. It's all a subjective meaning. And that's what a lot of kids, and I can speak to this, a lot of my peers who are 21, 22, 23 years old, young adults, who are still formulating their identity. You don't stop formulating your identity until you're 30. And these kids are still in the middle of that. And they're searching. Maybe they don't have Jesus in their life. Maybe they don't have, you know, a religious family background. Maybe they're not aware of the Bible. But they're searching for meaning nonetheless. Just because you're not religious doesn't mean you stop searching for meaning. Every person searches for meaning. And so what these really smart people have done is offer a way to get that meaning. They've said, hey, listen, come in. The LGBTQ argument is based on that assumption. It's a very appealing notion because it brings people into a group where they have meaning, where meaning is given to them again. And that's a very enticing thing, especially to a child that does not anchor himself properly in the meaning that the Bible has put forth.
There's also another problem, Owen. A lot of our families don't have fathers. One of the greatest contributors to the destruction of Western culture is fatherless families, because the father is the one that teaches respect to the mother for women, mm-hmm. Keeps children, teach them right from wrong, and there's nothing like a male voice to get you scared. I know with my dog, and you know, this just to show this, when I talk to my dog, he's a 65-pound lab, and he looks at me, and I can tell he's thinking, ah, she's going to give me a treat. When Daddy walks in, and the voice goes, and he's told to sit down, he sits.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's women bring compassion and empathy, and a man teaches a child respect. Also, a father protects. A child who has a father knows that his father will protect him from the outside, from others, from hurtful people, from the bullies. And right now, as a country, and Canada and America, we are allowing the bullies to take over. The fathers and mothers are being bullied into submission and allowing their children to be bullied by teachers who teach them that it's not your character that matters, it's your characteristics. Martin Luther King Jr. must be rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
We went from a color being your deciding factor to we're not supposed to have that. It's your character. And now we're back to characteristics. We're being tribalized. And it's happening because our parents and grandparents have succumbed to bullying. They have bent the knee to the bullies. And what I haven't figured out is why. How is it that so few people have managed to get strong men and women on their knees, apologizing for being white? How did we get to a place where we have teachers telling white children to question their whiteness? How did we get there? How is it we have television shows on PBS that teach children about drag queens? How did we ever get there?
We're going to have to answer that question after the break,
how did
everybody.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, we have to go to break really quick, but we'll be right back to answer that question, everybody. We're joined by Diane Weber Biederman. Everybody, we'll be back after the break.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
The DailyMail.com recently reported some horrific news concerning the state of California. Thousands of convicted pedophiles in that trend-setting ultra-liberal state are being released from prison after serving only a few months for horrific acts including rape, sodomy, and sexual abuse of kids under 14. More than 7,000 sex offenders were convicted of lewd or lascivious acts with a child but were let out of prison the same year that they were incarcerated. This according to the California Megan's Law database. One man pleaded no contest to abuse of a child in 2015. He was sentenced to just 2 days in county jail and 5 years of probation. He now lives a block from a daycare center and 3 blocks from an elementary school, according to the Megan's Law database. And speaking of schools, don't think this isn't all related to the effort to confuse our kids sexually and do away with the term pedophile altogether and replace it with a more benign minor attracted people label with little consequences for offenders. This must be stopped and stopped now. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several world leaders and notable multinational corporations now actively promote an energy transformation to so-called clean green hydrogen. Mainstream media will not expose the facts on the hydrogen fuel alternative. Hydrogen is an energy carrier, not an energy source. It requires enormous energy from another source to create it, and this storage of energy in hydrogen is very expensive. It can be compressed or stored chemically at a higher density, such as in metal hydrides. But this is all resource intensive. If you want higher energy bills, hydrogen will help. If you want higher costs of living, hydrogen will help. And burning hydrogen in air is not so environmentally friendly. It may produce emissions with up to 6 times higher levels of toxic nitrogen oxides compared with burning natural gas.
While you're enjoying your holidays, we'll be here with the news when you need it.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Owen Stevens Show. This is Owen Stevens. I'm joined by Diane Weber-Biederman, and we're talking about, you asked an amazing question before. This is really the most important question to answer, or to attempt to answer, which is, why have we let this happen? Why have we let this happen? And I think there's a couple of things that come to mind when you asked me that question. The number one thing was that Marxism and this ideology, you know, this ideology that appeals to human nature, that appeals to our desire for things, that appeals to our natural human, you know, desire to want to be taken care of. Those are things that have been present for a very, very long time, and they rear their ugly
head.
They're
biblical, Owen.
Yeah.
It's biblical. Remember, we were in the Garden of Eden, and everything was taken care of, and God took care of everything, and then the serpent caught Eve, mm-hmm. and she ate the apple, and she lied to Adam, who lied to God, and everyone was that's it, you're out of the garden. I really do believe there's an innate desire in all of us to go back to the garden, to go back to your mother's womb where you were taken care of. And that's what Marxism
that's exactly
speaks
right.
to, that fear
yes.
of having to stand on your own, because it is difficult
yeah.
to stand on your own.
Yeah, and it uses that groupthink mentality to entice people. And it's the thing that's also interesting is that it's a lie. Nobody who ever lived in a Marxist society lived better than a person who lived in a
right.
free society. And so
okay.
it's this catastrophic lie that gets people very, you know, one of the things that Lenin said, what did he say? Bread for everybody, right? Bread in people's hands. People naturally want to be taken care of, and we have to understand this about freedom and liberty, everybody. Freedom
yep.
and liberty, those are values. Liberty is a value. So our founding fathers, they didn't come and, you know, create this country. It's not a coincidence that the free nation that we know, or, you know, supposedly free nation that we know as America, took a very long time to exist. It's not a coincidence. It's something that over time had to be tried and perfected, and there had to be failures. There had to be enlightenments.
Right.
There had to be dark ages. All of it coinciding, all of it ending up here with America, and we've gotten this great gem of freedom where our founding fathers understood the value of freedom. They understood that it was a value, that you had to value it, that it wasn't a natural tendency. That's why they had to create the Constitution. That's why they had to create this country, to undergird people's lives, to give them that foundation,
right.
even if they don't find their foundation in the Bible, but to give it in that inherent statement
yeah.
that we're endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights, and that is what our identity becomes, is as individuals, not as a group.
I think a lot of people forget that of all things, the one thing that is not free is freedom.
It's the only thing that's not free.
As far as how we've gotten to where we are, I do wonder if it has to do with the computer age, internet. I think a lot of parents have allowed their children to get too connected to their computers and their phones. They're in
yeah.
their bedrooms alone, and instead of reading a book, they're online. And that's where these abusers could come into your home
yeah.
without you even knowing. Your children are reading things from transgender influencers who are making a fortune talking about
mm-hmm.
what they do. And then people have figured out that there are cliques all the time, especially amongst girls. Girls like to get together and be alike. And one psychiatrist noted that there was a sudden upsurge in girls who thought they
mm-hmm.
were boys. Because once
yeah.
it takes hold, I guess it's a tiny mass psychosis for mass formation psychosis. A group of girls, all of a sudden, they all thought they were boys. Why not? They're watching these influencers. They're talking
yeah.
to each other. You go to a restaurant. Are the families talking to each other? No, everyone's on their own phone.
On their
One
phone.
One of my friends told me that she was at a table and she noticed that no one was talking and everybody was busy texting. They were texting each other at the table. So
it's a collapse of community as well. That's what you're getting at, a really important point that I think these computers, the technology has contributed to a lack of proper community. It's so interesting. Facebook, what was the original message behind Facebook? You know, to connect people more. The whole idea behind Facebook and Twitter and all these social media platforms is to become more social, but it's actually made us less social. Because what's your definition of social and going out? Is it texting somebody who's not even there and the message is going into the void and you see their little profile picture and then something else they text? Is that really social communication? I don't think so. It's not. And so communities have collapsed.
But it is teaching children values that aren't yours and you're not aware of it. And it's very hard to have your child be the only one on the block who's not on the internet. You have to be pretty strong to be able to say you're not going on the internet today. And instead of let's all talk together or watch a program together, you're all watching different things while sitting together but not talking. Yeah. But most importantly, we're allowing evil people to come into our children's bedrooms at night. Mm-hmm. Child abusers. Evil people to come into our children's bedrooms at night. Mm-hmm. Child abusers who talk to our kids because they access social media. And as how did we get to a place where my grandchildren worry about your pronouns? Boggles the mind. But you were referring, if I could take you back, where you said build your house on a rock. That's a fantastic metaphor, because while I was also waiting to talk to you today, I was thinking to myself, we're raising children in a community that's firmly rooted in quicksand.
Quicksand,
the children
that's exactly right.
They don't know what's truth, what isn't. They're stepping and they're falling in and they're pulling out. They truly do not have a path. So that leads to anxiety. Who am I? I mean, you start asking a three-year-old, are you a boy or a girl? They don't even know what boy means. But you've put anxiety into them. You've put questioning. You've taken away anything real that they can hold on to. And you start doing this at 3 and 4 and 5. You bring in these drag queens that are these garrulously dressed men who have beards often and crazy hair and a giggle that scares me half to death. I mean, it reminds me of people who are scared of clowns. These people must scare the children. So these kids have no sense, no firmness upon which to stand. There is nothing that they can do where they can say, yes, this is the right way. This is the wrong way. It's a constant
state
of anxiety.
That's exactly right.
And
having that truth, in your life is the way, you know, I remember very well being a kid, like I said, 22, not that far removed from it. And one of the things that gets you through being a kid, which is, it's hard enough being a child. It's very difficult. Hormonal changes, everything's happening all at once, and you're experiencing things for the first time ever. You know what I mean? Driving, getting a driver's license, for instance, it's incredibly stressful. You know, and that's obviously just
so we're tying up your shoelaces, though, and it wasn't fun teaching that.
Exactly. And you're doing all of this for the first time. Something, and this is what my mom said, and my family said to me early on. They said, there's a God-sized hole in your heart. There's a God-shaped hole in your heart. Mm-hmm. And what they wanted to tell me, what they meant was that there is a fundamental and objective truth and objective good to life. And life only, and a meaningful life only exists in that context. And that's especially true for kids. That's especially true for kids who are experiencing these kinds of things for the first time. And that's why having, like you said, fathers in the household, incredibly important. But having a personal relationship with God is what fills that God-shaped hole in your heart and gives you a ground to stand on. You're standing on the rock because He is, you know, He is our fortress. That's what the Bible says. He's a fortress for kids. And one of the things that we're told is that we have not been given a spirit of fear. You know, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but that's exactly what the government, that's exactly what this global hierarchy, these New World Order people are trying to institute because a fearful populace is a subjugated populace.
That's
as Christians,
fear
as Jewish people,
submission.
Yep. Exactly. And as Christians and Jewish people, we are commanded to stand on the rock with freedom. With freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what it's about. And that's why freedom is a value. And that value of freedom didn't come from our founding fathers. It came from the Bible. I'm going to give you
Bible,
go ahead.
But the Bible, but the founding fathers, and the more I've studied this, especially John Adams, the way they looked at the world, having left Europe and came to America and wanted to start a new country, and the idea that they took that ethic is so extraordinary to me. It's mind-boggling. Of all the things they could have chosen, they chose this absolute ethic of compassion. And I always tell people, only God is perfect. So while people complain about America isn't perfect, no one is perfect but God. But we have that path. We have that goal. This is how we'll be compassionate, if we follow these teachings. And we're never going to be a compassionate country if we allow adults to teach children that you're not a boy or a girl, you can be anything you want with a little surgery and some hormones.
I mean, that's exactly right. It's getting at right and wrong, and giving people and giving kids that basis. And, you know, schools are supposed to do this. Schools are, and this is why our school system is failing. As soon as we took God out of school, as soon as we removed God, you know, they used to pray in school, right? As soon as they removed that out of school, it's no surprise to me that our public school systems have quickly collapsed. You know, this is exactly why our nation's slogan is one nation under God, one nation
also
under
everything,
God. And that's
everything
very
is
important.
Based on, everything is based on feelings, and feelings change. So how can you base anything on a feeling? There have to be facts there, and you have to learn that, you know, your feelings can be hurt. You'll be okay. You can stand up for what you believe is right, and if your feelings get hurt, well, you must have touched something somewhere in someone that the only way they could respond was by trying to hurt your feelings. It's like with any bully. a bully, I think bullies see something in their target, something really good that they wish they had, and they don't, and they go after that kid. Because there's something in that person that to the bully was too good, a strength that they didn't like, and they went after you. Which is why we also have to teach our children how to fight against bullies. And we have to teach parents to stand up so their children can see how parents fight the bullies.
The other thing is, whether you're a Christian or a Jew, or regardless of what you believe in, I'm not really saying that you must be a Christian, that you must be a Jew in order to be a conservative, but conservatives have this one thing in common, that we believe that there is objective good, that there is a moral good, that there is a moral truth that exists. Whatever you think that it is, that exists. And that cannot be stripped or taken away from you. That exists.
Right.
And that is where we have a serious problem here. Because we are allowing our kids into schools where they are suggesting and implementing an ideology that is not compatible with that. That is not compatible with the truth that is there and set in place. The truth that is set in stone. The what they are teaching to kids is not compatible with that. It's actually the exact opposite. They're teaching kids untruths. They're not just teaching them lies. They're teaching them the opposite of truth, the anti-truth, you can call it. Similarly to the Antichrist, they're teaching them anti-truths, that men are women, that you're whatever you want to be. These are subjective ideas. They're very humanistic. They're very secular. They're Marxist. And they're based in removing that fundamental moral truth that undergirds everything, that undergirds meaning, and replacing it with a subjective worship of yourself, a subjective worship of what makes you feel good and what makes you feel safe. And that is the most despicable thing that I can think of.
Well, look, as a female, I have to say, like, how did you get to a place where you let a man say, hey, I'm a female, puts on a bathing suit, grows his hair, and all of a sudden he's the champion swimmer. And if you say anything negative, you're transphobic. No, I don't have an irrational fear of someone who suggests they're the opposite sex. I happen to know that he can't be a woman. I don't mind saying that out loud. And he has no business destroying female athletics. And yet, with all your Title IX and all the Me Too women, how many women are standing up for the girls in athletics today and saying, you know, I don't think men belong in the sport or in the change room? So this is where we are today, Owen, and I'm kind of hoping that maybe next year we'll be in a better place.
Well, it's up to people who are not afraid, right? And the more that courage is contagious, and the more that people stand up, the more that we have these types of conversations. And Diane, we're down to our last minute. I'd like to thank you for coming on. I absolutely enjoyed this conversation. It was wonderful. Thank you for coming on, everybody. That was Diane Weber Biederman. We're going to have her on again, hopefully a lot. She's excellent. And definitely go check out her site. Go check out what she's written on her blog, the Biederman blog. Everybody go check that out. We thank her for coming on the show today. It's the most important thing, everybody, to remain. Yeah, absolutely. To remain anchored in moral truth, to remain anchored in what we know is true. And that is exactly what we're talking about today. And we're going to be on with Michael Parker next to discuss censorship and a little bit of the history behind censorship. So tune in after the break.